On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we talk about the divisional games in the NFL playoffs, preview the championship weekend games, and talk about the Jaguars trolling the Steelers after their W. There's some drama brewing in the NBA, with three fights in the past week, which leads us to our fantasy draft of our favorite sports fights. Enjoy the show!
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
All right, welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast, the number one podcast on the Mill Iron Sports Network. Ooh. Most downloaded, most listened to. Today is Friday, January 19th, and we're going to have not good quarterbacks in the Super Bowl this year.
There's only one, what should we call him elite? We'll call Tom Brady elite. He's probably the greatest. Brady? Quarterback of all time, which isn't really a controversial statement at this point, with five Super Bowls going for a sixth, seven AFC championship games in a row this will be for him, which is just an absolute absurd number. But yeah, the other three, Nick Foles, Case Keenum, and Blake Bortles, are all competing to go to the Super Bowl, which is just crazy.
Yeah. And I love Brady is a system quarterback. Oh.
I just love that we're guaranteed to have either Nick Foles or Case Keenum in the Super Bowl.
I know, it's awesome. Yeah.
That is,
and they're both going to get stupid contracts next year too.
Yep.
So what what this makes me think is that with subpar quarterback play, teams can still go far. So that gives me hope for the Bengals.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting ready to say. I feel like the team with Dalton under the helm in past years has been good enough to do what these teams have done. I mean, look at the year Dalton got hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, I think that they can make a playoff run there. They may not win it all, but they could win a couple games at least, because you can rely on a strong defense and a solid running game as long as you have a quarterback who, you know, he's smart with the football. He doesn't turn it over, make dumb decisions. He doesn't have to win the game for you as long as he can be an effective game manager.
Yeah. And not to go off on a Bengals rant or Bengals just, you know, therapy session, but if Dalton doesn't get hurt there, I don't think they're even in that wild card weekend with the Steelers.
No,
I agree.
I agree.
Yeah. I think they had a bye that they, I mean, they were sitting pretty.
Yeah.
I think that they were in good shape, and it wasn't going to matter. They would have gotten out of that first weekend by way of a bye, and who knows what would have happened then, but I still get that one hurts a little bit more than the Carson injury sometimes, just to think about, because that was
rolling.
A really good football team.
Yeah, they were rolling.
Yeah.
but hey. Nick Foles, he's done a good job, and he's no Carson Wentz, but I mean he got him to the NFC Championship game, and
he's getting the job done.
Case Keenum, despite all odds, I mean he was what, third string going into the season, or would have been if his knee wasn't in 15 pieces.
I want to see the Eagles win it with Foles, and then next year have them move forward with Foles and Wentz and do kind of a JT Barrett, Cardale Jones situation where they just kind of rotate them out and
smart,
and then like finish like 4-12 on the season if they fuck up their quarterbacks.
Yeah. Case Keenum really hasn't been playing bad football either. Like he's been pretty tough throws.
Yeah,
there were a couple of times earlier in the season when they were like, "This, he's got a short leash," and it was almost like they were waiting for the opportunity to yank him when they knew Bradford was going to be healthy and Bridgewater was going to be healthy, and he never gave him the opportunity. Like, he's just been playing great. Yeah.
And I think that like a lot of the stuff with Keenum comes from his reputation instead of like what we actually see on the field. Because we all expect him to not be good, but I mean, the last 8 weeks he's been a great quarterback, which isn't on par for the rest of his career.
Right. Well, he was on shit teams too. That's a big part.
Yeah.
I had saw something too that they're both Jeff Fisher quarterbacks too.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool too.
Yeah, the quarterback whisperer.
And Sammy Sleeves is on the Vikings too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. There's Jeff Fisher has three quarterbacks in the NFC Championship weekend.
Yep.
He just needed that defense, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, Saints could use some of that defense.
Yeah.
God. that the fucking ending of that game was so amazing. Like I was watching it on the other TV while I was playing PlayStation. So I kind of like caught it out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, "There's no way that just fucking happened."
Oh, and I'm usually one of those guys that all my emotion hangs on what the Bengals do, but I like jumped off the couch and was like, "Oh my god, that's freaking awesome!" Like, it was such an amazing ending.
So I've got the PlayStation view, so I'm always about 10, 15 seconds behind. So I'm sitting there watching the game, and I see a notification pop up from Twitter where Mac was like, "Oh my god," or "Wow," or something. He had some kind of like exclamation tweet, and I was like, "Oh shit, what happened here?" And so I just see, and then like again 10 seconds later, I see the play, and I'm like, "Holy shit!"
Oh man, you're gonna
Mac needs to start, you know, putting spoilers at the end of his tweets.
I know. You're gonna hate me.
I've been lobbying that for a while.
You're gonna hate me come baseball season when I'm tweeting every single pitch and doing the play by play of the Reds games. No, but that was crazy. I think the best thing that came from that play was the Photoshop that I've came across on Twitter, where somebody photoshopped Stone Cold doing the stunner to what's his name from the Saints? I keep forgetting his name. Harper? What's his last name?
The guy that had the possibly the worst tackle in
Marcus Williams.
Was it?
Yeah.
Talking about?
Possibly the worst tackle in postseason history.
Yeah.
So this was after that game got over, I had some fun and just searched for "fuck Marcus Williams" on Twitter, and there were some interesting tweets from people. And there are a lot of people that made that their display name. Like, I'm sitting there reading through all the tweets, and I'm like, they don't say anything about "fuck Marcus Williams." And I look, and their display name is just "fuck Marcus Williams." So. Yeah, I feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, like, I don't know what the fuck he was thinking there.
Well, I had told you guys too that my wife's a Steelers fan, and that what I was looking forward to is the, you know, downfall of her team losing. But I had asked her, I said, "Would you have rather like lost how you did to the Jags, or have what happened to the Saints happen to you?" And she was like, "Oh, by far I'd take the Jags loss." Like, it was just so horrible. It brought back a lot of the memories of the 15 playoff for the Bengals, where I was like, "God, that's got to be terrible for their fans."
Yeah, and I used to like Sean Payton, and I never really hated him from the whole Bounty Gate thing. But this week made me not like Sean Payton really. Like, he's not a very good coach. He proved how dumb he is with the replays.
Reading glasses?
Yeah, it was like the mocking the Minnesota fans. Like, that's I don't want my head coach doing that. Yeah. That's the kind of shit that, you know, early John Harbaugh did, and you still see with Mike Tomlin, and that's why I didn't really. I mean, Pete Carroll never mocked anybody, but there for a while, Pete Carroll didn't act the way I would want my team's head coach to act. So, I mean, I don't want him to be milquetoast like Marvin, but
I was gonna say I'd rather have him looking perplexed on the sidelines with bad clock management.
But if Sean Payton's been doing this like throughout the year, like he had the whole thing earlier on in the season where he made the choke sign to Devontae Freeman of the Falcons. So
I don't know what if he's always been this way and he's just being outed or what, but I always kind of took him as I knew he got fiery sometimes on the sidelines, but I never really saw him as the kind of guy that was a showman like this.
Right.
I was kind of torn during that game because I like Mike Zimmer and I like most of the Vikings players, but then I also like Drew Brees and I kind of wanted to see him get to the Super Bowl one last time in his career, because I think he's going to be 39 or something like that this offseason. And he said, you know, he's going to be a free agent, but he said he wants to come back to the Saints. And I kind of wanted to see one last run with him to the Super Bowl.
Zimmer's presser after the game was the best thing ever. When the fans were chanting, you know, "Zimmer, Zimmer," that was like the great. And he started going, that was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, and I had said last week that I was kind of pulling for the Saints just because of all the Buckeyes on the roster. So
yeah,
I was a little bit disappointed by the ending there, but you know, I'm not too emotionally invested one way or another in that. I was just happy to see the Jags knock off the Steelers. So
yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah,
I think I'm jagging off the rest of the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
that was
I was the only one that picked the Steelers. I was the only one that picked the Steelers last week. You guys all three picked the Jags. So yeah, you're right, Woody. I was wrong. You know, the Jags win that game.
Yep, see?
Historically.
The Jags have never lost the players. The Jags have never lost to the Steelers in the playoffs. So
the other funny thing I saw is that Blake Bortles, there's three other quarterbacks, Tony Romo and two other guys.
Vick.
Yeah, Mike Vick.
And
was it?
I forget.
It wasn't Namath, was it?
It was, yeah, I think it was. Like Joe Namath.
All someone, have yeah. two playoff wins.
Nice.
Yeah, Blake Bortles them. Facts has become my favorite Twitter account by far.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's awesome. The comparisons to LeBron last week, I was losing my mind. Like, it was so funny.
Yeah, just getting like to like know him from the interviews that I've heard with him on Pardon My Take. He's easily like one of my top NFL personalities, and now I'm actually rooting for him to do good on the field too. So it's kind of cool that he's had a great year.
Oh, and he's always been a big Barstool guy, and they did a long time ago their own version of Cribs with athletes that they knew. I think they've done one with Tyler Eifert. I know they did one with maybe Kyle Rudolph too, but one that they did was with Blake Bortles, and they asked him what he'd be doing if he wasn't playing football, and he said probably smoking a pack of cigarettes a day and breaking rocks at a construction site or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, I believe that, like, I really do. Yeah. Like, that's probably what he'd be doing.
I think the clip that I saw from that, they're in his bedroom, and they asked him, like, so what's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? He's like, you know, I just kind of take a piss.
Yep, he's a normal guy like us.
Yep, yeah.
He pees just like us.
And he's balding just like us.
Yeah. The other games this weekend, the Patriots game was a blowout. That wasn't even fun to watch. The Titans were no match against Tom Brady and the Pats.
Yeah, I wish
most
I could go back
saw
and
that coming.
Yeah. I was like, I think they keep this one close. Nope. Not even close. So bad look for DB and I both on our picks. I'm not going to take a hard stance on anything ever again.
Yeah.
For the next 3 minutes.
And then the Eagles, you know, they ended up coming out ahead. That was an ugly game. Was it 15-10?
Yeah.
Or something like that. That was boring.
That was a boring game.
Yeah. Yep. And that's how looking forward to the championship weekend, Vikings Eagles might be 6-3, 3-0.
Yeah,
we'll get to that a little bit later in when we talk about championship weekend. But we have, after the Steelers lost to the Jags, Mike Tomlin might be on the hot seat.
Yeah, there's some rumors and rumblings out of Pittsburgh that not necessarily the Rooneys, but some people involved in the ownership.
Yeah, some of the minority owners.
Are going to be pushing for a change here. So I don't think the change is going to happen. I would love to see it happen, though, just because I hate Tomlin. And
yeah.
I would love to see him lose his job just because, I can't stand him. And I don't think he will. They got rid of Todd Haley today.
Yeah.
That came out that he and Ben are just not going to be working well together. They weren't working well together, so they're just going to get rid of Haley, which means, you know, I know Big Ben came out and said he wants to play 3 more years. This proves to me for sure he is going to be back next year. They wouldn't have fired Todd Haley if he wasn't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Tomlin, he's not a good coach. I don't know why everybody thinks he's a great coach. Like, he's had some of the best rosters in the NFL.
Yeah,
from year in, year out, especially offensively. Their defense hasn't been as, you know, steel curtain-y as they've always thought they were there for a while. But their offense, I mean, they've got some of the best weapons, and they just can't win. Like, New England's in the AFC, so you always have to go through New England, or you would have to go through Peyton and the Broncos there for the last couple years. Like, it's no excuse. Like, he's got some of the best threats.
I think people kind of jump on him so much just because he has that, and I don't think he's cool, but I feel like people have that feeling about them. Like, he's just a cool guy. He's like a younger coach. He kind of just the way he carries himself, I think that people get, I guess, I don't know, I don't want to say hypnotized by it, but they kind of only see that at its surface. They don't like look at like what he's actually doing or read past it and see, okay, well, they're not dominating people because of Tomlin. They're dominating people because they've got, you know, Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, like fucking, mm-hmm. you know, a solid defense that they've had the past 10, 15 years. So mm-hmm. he gets the credit for that, but I don't really think it's much of his doing, really.
No.
So the one thing that I'll say about Tomlin is that he, with the confidence that he shows on the field, like that kind of goes into it. What you were saying, Whit, is that, you know, he does present himself as very confident and cool.
Yeah.
And he kind of got some shit after the game because of the onside kick that he drew up. And, you know, he said, you know, I want to win. That's why I did that. You know, I do stuff to win. And kind of wish that our coach was the Bengals coach was a little bit more like that, where he took more chances. Yeah. But I don't want to give Mike Tomlin too much credit. Go ahead, Hefe.
No.
It pisses me off how they act like he has so much control of the team, too. And that's my biggest thing with Tomlin, is they just act like they're, everything's, you know, peachy, it's Steelers football, and there's just so many, like, backdrop drama issues with the Steelers, and, you know, the onside kick pit, like, I get, I'm kind of where DB is, I don't want to give him too much credit, but I wish Marvin was more like that, where, like, Leonard Fournette on fourth, they were fourth and goal when Jacksonville went for it. With Fournette early in the game and scored, and that was a huge difference maker.
Right.
But yeah, it pisses me off when people act like Tomlin's just got so much control of that locker room.
Yeah, I mean, he's had issues with Antonio Brown recording live on Twitter or whatever he was on, or Instagram, like during the post game speech where Tomlin's giving the post game speech. He's got guys like Mike Mitchell going on rants about the commissioner, which, if he wasn't a Steeler, I'd probably be like, all right, go. Like, keep going after Goodell, because he is a fuck. But you got Mike Mitchell saying shit like, when we play the Patriots, we're going to beat them.
Yeah.
I
mean, like, they clearly did not even give Jacksonville the time of day before in the divisional round. And it bit him in the ass, which is awesome.
Yeah, that 100% comes down to coaching, because if you don't have your guys focused on the current task at hand, I mean, that's on you. Obviously, their nature is going to be, oh, this is our big rival, let's look forward to them. But as a coach, you have to rein that in and have them focus on Jacksonville, because they've already, they had already gotten beaten at home by Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they should have been surprised by this, but they overlooked them again. And it, like you said, Mac, it came back and bit them in the ass.
So after the Jags victory, there's actually been some pretty funny things that Bengals fans have been doing to, I don't know if it's in spite, you know, but it's more of to show support of the Jaguars and kind of thank them for beating the Steelers. Like, I think the Blake Bortles Foundation has taken in over $5,000 from happy Bengals fans.
Yeah, it was over 10 last I saw. Was I don't it? Know okay. what the number's at now. Yep.
That's hilarious. It kind of piggybacks off what Bills Mafia did for Andy Dalton when he had that big win that got the Bills into the playoffs. But I think it's hilarious that this, I mean, and, you know, people say that it's in bad taste, but it's for charity. So if you don't get it, like if you don't get the joke there, then, you know, you can fuck off.
Yeah. The fact that it's for charity, I think you can't hate on it, but I do think it does come off as a little bit petty and spiteful for the Bengals fans.
Absolutely.
Because with Bills fans, they were thanking the Bengals for getting them into the playoffs. Like, the Bengals didn't benefit from the Jags beating the Steelers. They're just more, I'm going to say, hey, you beat our rivals, so I'm here. I'm going to reward you guys for it.
Right.
Like, if any other team did that, I'd probably be all over them. But as a Bengals fan, I kind of have to try and reel it in, but it still feels like a little bit like, I guess good that you're donating to somebody's charity, but it's at the same time, I could see where you'd open up yourself to criticism there.
I agree.
It is petty and spiteful, but it's also funny to me at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was funny. Yeah.
Speaking of petty and spiteful, a bakery in Jacksonville has sent Ben Roethlisberger 7 turnovers, pastries, to thank him for the 7 turnovers that he committed against the Jacksonville Jaguars this season. awesome. and helping them get to the AFC Championship game. And Mark Brunell was actually pissed about this on Twitter. I saw that he was like, "This is not cool. This is not all right."
Oh, his like, fat ass ate all seven.
Fuck
of
off. Yeah, that's. I mean, I know you're a Jack. I mean, Brunell ended up in Pittsburgh for a while too, didn't he?
Did he?
He did not. He never did. No. That. He actually it was. I guess maybe I'm picturing him in the Saints. I just remember seeing him in black for some reason.
Yeah. Or Redskins. So looking at his history on Wikipedia, I didn't know he was ever with the Packers, the Saints, or the Jets.
Yep.
All I remember is Jags and Redskins.
I forgot he was a starting quarterback in the NFL.
And now this is just one of the radio shows that we used to listen to a lot, and I still listen to from time to time. They used to be based out of Jacksonville, so they know a lot about. Then they had a lot of players that were friends and stuff. And apparently, Mark Brunell was one of the reasons that Jaguars, you know, the beginning of what could have been a dynasty with Coughlin, and they had a lot of good teams that early on in their history. Apparently, Brunell is one of the reasons that it came crumbling down, and it was because he was. People's beliefs are beliefs, but he was like a big time like Bible thumping like. Basically created a rift between the locker room of, you know, we do things this way, and if you don't do it that way, like, we don't want you around here. You're talking about a bunch of, you know, early 20s, got money for the first time in their lives. Like, they're not going to Bible study, dude. They're not going to go home and eat dinner at 5:30 and be in bed by 8. Like, I mean, if I'm 23 years old and get handed $15 million, like, screw you, buddy. I'm going out and I'm having fun. Like, I'm not...
Yeah,
I'm not living that way, but I mean, I've never really liked Mark Brunell. I don't know why. I think he just kind of has that look where like
it's the whole left-handed got that quarterback thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. No, because I like Boomer. So
yeah, that's true.
But no, I think it's the whole like he's got the Big Ben, like his face is just too fat for a helmet look. So I don't know. I never really cared for him one way or the other, but now seeing him get all butthurt on Twitter about. Jacksonville Bakery's having fun over Ben Roethlisberger having seven turnovers in two games against them.
Yeah.
Like, get over yourself. Like, be proud of the franchise that you helped get to the AFC Championship back in whenever that was in the early 2000s or late 90s. But I don't know. I mean, it's good publicity for that bakery. I'm sure that it's one of those bakeries that's popular in Jacksonville to begin with, but now their name's all over the news around the country. So,
yep,
it's pretty cool.
So, Hefe, with all this football going on, I hear that you have a confession for us.
Yeah, and it's not pastry related. Surprisingly, I'm a fat guy, but I didn't eat anything weird. But I did take your guys' advice, and I finally bet on some football.
Oh yeah,
I bet. Straight up money that the Titans were going to beat the Patriots, and I did it to close out my bookie account, and I am proud to say that I lost every cent of it. So I hesitate to tell the amount because it's a bit embarrassing. $75 that the Titans were going to beat the Patriots, and I lost all $75.
What would you have won? I mean, the
$465.
Money line on that. Yeah.
So yeah, I saw dollar signs, which is why I should never bet because
when the amount net like you're like how much you would win like makes you gasp, you know that's not a good bet.
I was like $465. I'd been on my wife too about buying a second TV so that I can, like every guy dreams, play PlayStation and watch sports. And she was like, if you win you can buy the TV, so I was like hype. And I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm going to put the bet down. And as soon as it looked good at the beginning because the Patriots weren't playing awesome. But then another touchdown. I'm just sitting there like, damn it.
Yeah. What would have been, do you know what the money would have been if you would have put $75 on the Pats?
It was $8.62.
Nice.
So. Jesus. Yeah, I did similar in the Mayweather McGregor fight, which is why I don't bet a lot. So
I loaded up on McGregor.
Yeah, I took McGregor. I put 30 or 40 on McGregor, and I had actually gone into the specifics of him knocking him out in the second between the third and sixth round.
Yeah,
but I think I'm done betting for a while because I'm just not very good at it. I had asked Mac before the podcast started what the money line meant. If it meant that it was because I wanted to know before I told the story, because I didn't want it to be like some weird thing I bet on.
Yeah.
But I had $75 plus, it was 25 plus the 50 free play. And I was like, I'm just clearing out my MyBookie account. I'm just going to put 75 on the Titans. And I was sitting there tweeting because I wasn't even watching the game because I'm like, I'm fucked.
I just got sick to my stomach thinking about that Mayweather fight now because that night was between dinner, buying the fight, and the amount of money I lost on the bet was probably an $800 night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Which I know in the gambling world isn't that big a deal, but...
Yeah.
I was going big on... Well, my dinner was... I went to Ruby's that night to get a nice dinner before I was going to strike it rich on the McGregor play, but...
So that was 200 of it.
Oh, yeah. But no, that would have been awesome. But like I said, if it makes you gasp when you see how much money you could win, then probably stay away from that bet.
Yeah. So
but I took your guys' advice finally, and clearly, and I pick uniforms typically. Like
we didn't tell you to take the money line on crazy underdogs. We told you.
Yeah.
I just had it in my head. Like it was your fault, Mac, because you kind of got in my head with the Patriots, back behind the scenes stuff. I was like, maybe Mac's right. Like, maybe they're just going to come out and lay an egg. And no.
Well, don't take any advice from me ever because I cleared out my bookie account for Bitcoin, which is literally cut in half. Like,
it's tanking.
What I bought at, it's half of what I bought at. So it's all right, though.
Yeah.
It's always, what is it? Always the darkest before dawn. Is that it? Whatever the saying
something,
is. I don't
something
know.
Like that.
We'll see who's laughing when I'm a millionaire on my Bitcoin. we brought it back last week or introduced it last week. We couldn't really figure out if it's ever made the light of day on a podcast. But we got another burn of the week. And this week, our winner is literally just the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because
there's so many good ones.
They've had really good, like, their Twitter account blasted the Steelers, saying, well, maybe you can play the Patriots and Madden this week.
That was my favorite one.
Yeah, after Mike Mitchell was talking. Yeah, Mike Mitchell was talking about how they were going to play the Patriots next week.
Yep.
And then there was the locker room rant where they were sitting there talking. I forget the offense or the lineman's name they were talking to, but they were talking about. Talking about the game. It's the same dude that predicted the final score of the game.
Yeah.
Big defensive tackle.
Yeah. And then Malik Jackson popped up from behind. And I guess someone from the Titans had been talking shit, saying that Blake Bortles was a bum. And he was like, we don't have the audio queued up. I kind of wish I would have now. But he said basically, who's the bum? Like, who... See if he looks like a bum when you're sitting at home watching on the couch next week or so. I forget how he said it, but
yeah,
it was one of those deals. He came out of nowhere too. Like he was kind of lurking in the background and then all of a sudden he just pops up behind the other dude and he says it. And the reaction from the guy that was getting interviewed is an all time gif. I've seen it used so many times or like the screenshot frozen of like his face when he just knows that, he just literally roasted the dude from Tennessee. But
that's funny.
But yeah, and just the Jaguars, and they've been disrespected so much this season, and no matter how many times they've shown that they were the real deal on defense or Leonard Fournette is the real deal at running back, like no one's given them the time of day because they still see Blake Bortles as a joke at quarterback, which he's probably not great, but I mean he's doing what he needs to do to get his team, on the right side of the scoreboard. And
yeah.
You can't knock him for that. So, I mean, I love when guys have their teammates back like that, but it was funny. He was angry. Everyone else around him seemed to be having a good time. So it came off pretty good, but it didn't seem as petty as you see some call outs.
Right.
I will say I had a slight honorable mention too for burner of the week. Lane Johnson from the Eagles wearing the dog mask.
Yeah.
Because they were the underdogs. That also made me like die laughing. So.
Which they sold out of dog masks on Amazon because of that.
Yeah.
And I guess all the costume shops around Philly, they sold out right away. And the link's going to be interesting Sunday when everybody's wearing those dog masks.
It's going to be hilarious when you turn the game on.
That's going to be fun for security, having all these people they can't even see. Also, Hefe, that doesn't count as a burn because he wasn't burning anybody.
He was burning the people that kind of...
Odds makers.
Yeah, the Vegas odds makers.
They always get the last laugh, though. case in point with Hefe. But they... Witty, you said that you feel bad for security, but if you're signing up for security at a Philly sporting event, you know what you're getting into.
That's true.
I think a dog mask is the least of their concerns.
They boo Santa Claus.
Yeah. They literally have a holding cell in the stadium because it's easier than transporting people downtown.
Well, there's a tunnel from our friends from Always Sunny to keep them from hammering fans. Like, there's a tunnel to get out.
He's got some riot punch.
I need some riot punch.
Push me in front of the damn car.
And this wasn't on our list, but Joel Embiid had a little run in at Joel Embiid? He had a run in at the Philly tailgate. Where somebody was, they were tossing football, and the guy tried to push him to get the ball, and he just turned around and shoved him like as hard as he could.
He's
back.
So much bigger than the guy too.
Yeah, and I know some people were talking about like, why does he not have at least a handler walking around with him to make sure no one does something stupid? And
because
not necessarily.
Where were you on that one, dipshit?
Yeah, not exactly to take a baseball bat to his leg or anything, but. Some drunk Philly idiot jumping on his back, thing you know, I mean, he's a sixer, so he's gonna blow out his knee somehow.
right.
He's already fragile. I mean, he's played he's played like 40 something games in four seasons.
Yeah, so I don't know why they, and that's what I think it was Big Cat that was saying on one of the thing on the rundown or whatever he was on that day. He's like, if you're the Sixers, you have to have guys walking around with these players, like. Yeah. There should never even be an opportunity for someone to come up and shove this guy at a tailgate. Yeah. Like, you're around a bunch of drunk idiots. Someone's going to think that they're tough and either, like, fake dunk on him or, like, jump on his back or do something. And
there was something that went viral of him earlier in the season, too, where he was at the Eagles game.
He goes to, like, all kinds of Philly sporting events.
But he doesn't get football because at one point he was, like, rooting for both teams. Like he was cheering when the Eagles did something, and then he was cheering when the opponents did something. I mean, I just don't think he gets football.
Isn't he from where's he from? He's from somewhere.
Yes, I don't know.
It's not the Virgin Islands or something, but something like that, like or Turks and Caicos or whatever. I forget where. I feel bad now, just generalizing where he's probably from, but
he is probably from. Cameroonian. He's from Cameroon.
Cameroonian.
Interesting. You learn something new every day.
Did not know that. That's funny.
So one thing that we like to do every week is pick some football games against the spread. And we already talked about it a little bit. The Vikings are heading into Philadelphia, and the home team Philly is actually the underdog. The Vikings are -3 heading into Philadelphia. So, Hefe, what are your thoughts on the Vikings-Eagles game?
I'm a Vikings fan now, man. That game, that ending was awesome.
Yep.
I'm going Vikings. I just think they get it done. I think their defense... is able to, hold Foles in check, and I think they just get it done. I'm taking them with the points.
I'm also on that boat. I think that the Vikings, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, which I talked about a little bit earlier. I don't think many points are going to be scored. Both their defenses are pretty good, and I think that the Vikings shut down Nick Foles and head on to the Super Bowl. Will there be, it just lines up with this being the year that the Super Bowl is in Minnesota and their new dome.
Yep.
I mean, everything's aligning for the perfect season, and then they'll, get beaten in the Super Bowl by the Patriots.
By the Jaguars. So, awkward.
Sorry.
I'm taking Philly with the points. I actually think Minnesota wins this game.
Yeah.
But I think Philly
You think it's going to be real Philly close?
I think Philly can keep it within three. I'm picking up on like a, I don't know, 20-18 type of game.
Yeah.
Lots of field goals.
Big Jake Elliott fan, huh?
Yep. It's going to be ugly. There's going to be something. It's going to be soul-crushing for Philly. And then it's going to just be one more obnoxious thing for Philly fans to hold on to is that, you know, I mean, Philly fans, I go back and forth on Philly fans. It depends, I guess, on my own mood.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, dude, just shut up. Like, nobody feels bad for you. Like, you still have success. You just might not win the Super Bowl. Or, I mean, they've got the Phillies World Series within relatively recent years. So,
mm-hmm.
But they try to make themselves out as the lovable losers. And so I think it's going to be soul crushing defeat for Philly. But I think that Minnesota wins the game outright, but by less than three.
Yeah, I am going Minnesota. I think Philly could play the disrespect card of being an underdog against basically a wild card team in the divisional round, but here I think they are just outmatched. I think maybe with Wentz they've got a shot, but I think the Vikings are too complete of a team for the Eagles to beat with Nick Foles at the helm. So I think the Vikings win by about a touchdown and move on to that home Super Bowl.
Yep.
So the other game is Jaguars heading into Foxborough to play the Patriots. The Jags are +9. That's a pretty big point spread. And
yeah.
God, with the Patriots, it's so dangerous because they could put up 30 or they can put up 10. And I don't know. I hate this game. I hate picking. I'm not going to pick against Tom Brady. I think the Patriots win it, but I don't think that they win it by 9. So I'm going to take the Jags +9 points. That's too many points for the Jags to give up.
I'm right there with you. I'm taking the Jags. I think they keep it within 9. I would love to see them win it outright. I don't know if they have it in them to do it. Their defense is scary. Like, if they get to Brady early, it came out today that Brady's hand got beat up a little bit in practice.
Yeah.
So, and if it's cold, who knows? Who knows how that's going to feel on his hand trying to throw the ball? So,
yeah.
I think that, I mean, of course, James White comes out of it, nowhere. And I think he hadn't scored since last year's playoffs.
As is tradition.
Yeah, and then he had, two or three touchdowns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday, or last week, so.
Secret weapon.
The Patriots' running game's okay, but if you take, I mean, I think he's going to hold his own against Gronk. I think it's going to be a good showdown, and I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game, so
yeah.
The opportunity for New England to stretch that beyond 9, I don't think it's possible, so.
Yep, I agree completely. I think it's the Jaguars' defense that keeps them in the game and gives them a chance, and I agree. I ultimately think the Patriots win it, but I think we're looking at somewhere between a field goal to a touchdown game, not 9 points. So
yep.
I'm going Jags, but I do think the Patriots win. But that's +9 is just too much, I think.
I didn't learn my lesson. I'm going to take the Jags outright. I think they get to Tom.
You don't have
early.
To. You can have 9 points if you want them.
I think they get.
Nope, he said outright.
I think they get to Tom easily. I don't think pocket passers have done well against them this year. I don't think Tom's not going to escape the pocket. If they get their run game going, maybe the Patriots, can blow them out if they can get the run game going earlier. But I think Jacksonville's defense is going to overwhelm the Patriots and. They're going to shock the world again. So,
yep.
I'm taking Jags.
And defense travels, so that weather's not going to matter to the defensive guys.
Exactly.
So.
That's who I'm rooting for, at least. I don't know. I want it to happen. I don't know that it will. But
I just think Fournette can have a big game against him as long as his ankle's okay. I think he's going to have a big day, too. So, I don't think it's going to fall on Bortles because I really don't think the Patriots' defense is as good as everybody thinks they are.
Will you guys be tuning in for the Portnoy versus Chaps electric chair?
Possibly.
I might watch
a little bit of it, but
my big thing is if Chaps was going to be drinking for it, I think it'd be hilarious. But
Yeah.
I don't think he drinks anymore, doesn't drink much, so. Although he might get some locally sourced IPA, LaCroix or whatever that But no, that'll be good. It'll be interesting to see.
All right, so going from one evil empire in the New England Patriots to the next in North Korea, we've got some news out of the Winter Olympics coming up. I guess the North Koreans are actually sending two athletes to this year's Winter Olympics. And how many they're sending cheerleaders along with them. And I think their cheerleader to athlete ratio is like 130-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
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 So they're sending 230 cheerleaders for their two athletes. Are they both figure skaters? Is that what?
Yeah, one male.
Think so yeah,
one yep. male, yeah. one female.
Yeah, and then I guess I don't know if this is. It seems like an odd move to me, but the North Korean athletes are going to walk out with the South Korean athletes as well. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's something that, and I haven't read enough about it, but I don't know if it's something that. Kim Jong-un is on board with, or if that's kind of going to be something that's frowned upon and these people are going to just disappear when they come back. But I think it's interesting.
And this is a dick move to me. Like this reminds me of when a team's not very good in football and they send out like, you know, 13 people or 14 people for the coin toss. Like this is just classic, like, oh, look how many people we have, but you had two qualify. Like, I feel like this is just him, a power move by him, and it's just annoying to me. It's, like, douchey.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and I have done zero research on this as far as the North Korea, South Korea Olympic walking out together, but I'm going to go ahead and say that, like, North Korea hasn't been in the Olympics for, I don't even know. It's been forever since they've participated in the Olympics.
Decades.
I wonder, like, as the governing body of the Olympics, I don't know if they, like, is North Korea even a, like, sanctioned country? Because I know something, like, you can't just be like, oh, this is the country I'm competing for. I'm pretty sure countries have to be, you know, like, recognized by the Olympic Committee. So, I don't know if this is, like, this is the only way they're able to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're coming out under the same, they're coming out under a very generic flag.
A unity flag.
Yeah, it literally is just a picture of the whole, you know, North and South Korea, you know, as one whole country. It's very plain looking. It's not, you know, anything even cool. So I don't know if this was just kind of like a gesture, a goodwill gesture from South Korea being the host country, saying like, hey, since you're not going to be able to be, I know they're competing under the North Korean name, but I don't know. I feel like the Olympics are so weird. There's got to be some weird, like, this is the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Or it could just be that nut job being like, hey, I don't want to be a laughing stock. I've only had two Olympians. So even though they're going to focus on those two anyway.
Can't wait to see the American ice skaters just whoop that ass.
Yep.
I do picture them, like, training in a warehouse, like on Blades of Glory. Like, just with poured out ice, like just a hose poured out of an old refrigerator or something.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But
hopefully it ends in a fight.
I was gonna, yeah.
I know. And that two
Johnny Weir come out of the broadcasting booth and just beat the shit out of some little North Korean dude.
Well, he's gotta be a little.
We'll slap the shit out of some North Korean dude.
So, speaking of fights, there's been a few in the NBA this past week, mostly on the court, but there's been some Clippers-Rockets stuff that actually spilled over to the locker rooms afterwards. So, on the court this past week, the Raptors and Heat got into it with Serge Ibaka throwing some hands at James Jones. I think they both got suspended for a while. And then, I think it was Tuesday night, the Timberwolves and Magic got into it where Aaron Aflalo, who's from Compton, if you didn't know, just threw one of the, it's one of the hardest haymakers I've ever seen thrown in an NBA game where, and he actually made contact with the big white dudes, on the T-Wolves face. But that was, I mean, he was trying to knock his ass out.
Yep. Yeah. He went thumb first, which was not a good look, but, I mean, he swung, he almost like swung over the top of him, but he did connect a little bit. Like, yeah, that they're getting feisty.
They caught the dude off guard for sure, but then he got put in a headlock, so he absolutely lost it. Like it was a terrible look for him because the Minnesota T-Wolves guy just kind of grabbed his head and put it under his arm until, you know, the refs got in and enough players got in that Aflalo couldn't do anything. And it was good self-defense by the T-Wolves guy. And they had gotten into it a couple plays earlier where they were kind of mouthing back and forth. And I don't know if there was a hard foul or what happened, but they were boxing out for a rebound. And they, you know, they got into it a little bit before. And then Aflalo got pissed off enough that he decided that it was time to fight.
That was one that he was just standing at the top of the key, right? And he came out, like he just turned around and swung at him.
Yeah.
So I just watched the video and I couldn't tell. Like, it looked like he might have made contact, but it also looked like the guy from the Timberwolves may have kind of backed away enough where I couldn't tell because it happened so fast. Like,
I think he made a little bit of contact. He was definitely going for the knockout. I didn't get it, but
no.
And then the other one that happened this past week that's made a ton of headlines is the Clippers-Rockets.
That's the one I'm the most interested in.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand. So this all started on the court and spilled over into the locker room after the game where CP3, they were playing in Staples Center, and he was on the Clippers last year, now on the Rockets, and he knows, like, the back way to get into the Clippers locker room. And I guess Blake Griffin got ejected from the game for talking shit to Trevor Ariza, and, you know, stuff had been happening the entire game where dust ups with the coaches, and, you know, it just escalated to the point where they decided that they wanted to say more words to them in the locker room afterwards, and the cops ended up getting called.
Yeah. And they all wanted to go at Austin Rivers, who wasn't even dressed for the game. So I don't know if he was like talking shit from the bench or
he was at one point. Like, well, he was,
was he?
Yeah. So, plus, he's the douche. He's the coach's son.
I don't know if it was worse being the coach's son. They wanted to go after him. But, yeah, it sounds like their main target was Austin Rivers, and they also wanted to call out Blake Griffin as well. So, but from what I read or from what I heard, it sounds like Chris Paul led them through the back hallway to the locker room. Then once everything started, he just kind of, like, stepped back and was like, all right, I'm not getting involved in any of this.
I could definitely see that happening. And that, you know, since we don't really know exactly what happened, the players aren't really talking about it. All we have is hearsay. You don't know what happened, but nothing was really going to happen if, you know, enough people step in, and cooler heads usually prevail in those situations where the heat of the moment takes over for some guys and then everyone else kind of just breaks it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the whole story is that the Rockets center Rockets center went to, like, the front door of the Clippers locker room and, like, knocked on it, and they saw and so they opened it up, saw it was him, and, like, shut the door, but it was almost like a diversion so the guys could come around and sneak in the back. So they're, like, doing, like, military tactics and shit now just to try and fight in the locker room.
I think Barkley's and Shaq's reaction to finding out that the cops got called on Chris Paul was hilarious too. Yeah. They're just laughing their asses off in studio, isn't it?
Yeah,
the whole the aspect of Chris Paul knowing the secret tunnel or the secret hallway to get to the other side of the locker room. The whole, I don't know, like, there's so much bad blood between this because of the, you know, the guys that have switched teams, and it sounds like Chris Paul wasn't a fan of anyone on the Clippers anymore anyway.
Yeah,
I mean,
everybody hates Austin Rivers. There's not too many people that like him. Apparently,
I don't even think guys on the Clippers like Austin Rivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't. But no, I think that, I don't know, like, it's funny. And I would probably take Blake Griffin's side of this if he didn't ruin a bunch of movies for me. Spoiler alert, movies today on that, by the way, like, and not to pump anyone else's tires, but that was one of the most genius moves the Big Cat and PFT have ever done on Part of My Take with.
Yeah.
Knowing that Blake Griffin can't really talk about the fight, but they basically used a bunch of old movies to explain what happened and have him lead along the way. That was funny. Yep. But yeah, I mean, Blake Griffin, it didn't seem like, I mean, yeah, he jawed a little bit, but it didn't look like I know he didn't get suspended, right? Like, Blake Griffin didn't get any sort of punishment, I don't think. But a lot of people were saying he should have been because he was involved at the beginning, but he didn't really do anything wrong. Like, on the court.
He did kind of run into the coach, Mike D'Antoni. which, yeah. you know, Dan Tony says it was intentional.
Yeah.
It may have been. You don't really know. But, I mean, just bumping somebody isn't really enough to get suspended or even if it is the coach of another team. You know, he bumped him, and it's to the point where you could say it was in the flow of the game and not intentional.
Yeah. And they jawed back and forth a little bit.
Yeah. But I mean, just looking at the tape, you can clearly see Mike D'Antoni say, fuck you. And Blake Griffin is like, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny to see a coach and a player from a different team going at it like that.
Like Mick Cronin and JP McCura.
Exactly. Yep,
that's right. Yep. I would never tell a man that size to fuck off or say fuck you. I know Blake's not really a hard ass, and he doesn't seem like much of a, you know, he's not a bare knuckle brawler or anything necessarily, but he's a large man
that
could probably
6'9" dude. Yeah, muscles.
He's a big dude.
Yeah,
But yeah, that was, I don't know. I'm sure eventually there's got to be footage of this happening. Like I would just want to see like Chris Paul leading a bunch of guys, like telling them to be quiet, like down the secret hallway, not to alert like the guards. Or
that
anything.
Was Cliff Paul.
Yeah, that. Well,
yeah. That's why I wish it was like a Cavs team that would have done it. That way LeBron could Instagram the entire thing, and so you can see the guys going through.
Sheesh.
It does. It seems like you've been hearing about it, you know, with a lot of the NBA teams, and even as we were recording, the Wizards and Hornets almost had a bench clearing brawl tonight. I haven't watched the video to see what happened, but I just got an alert on my phone that said, you know, Hornets Wizards almost come to a bench clearing brawl. So it's all over the NBA.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to ramp things up a little bit, to get people interested, because they're you know, everyone's focused on the NFL playoffs right now, and the NBA gets their time once the Super Bowl's over with, but they're tired of waiting, and they want people to pay attention now, so they're just going to start fist fighting on the court and in the locker room.
Jackie Moon was on the right track.
Somebody hit somebody.
So, in honor of all the fights in the NBA, and chances are there'll be two or three more that happen by the time you listen to this on Friday. In the next 3 hours, I'm sure there's going to be another fight.
Well, I'm watching Nuggets Clippers right now on ESPN. So I'll let you know any breaking news if I see it happen.
Thank you. Our fantasy draft this week is our favorite fights in sports, our favorite sporting fights of all time. And to lead us off, Hefe is going to give us his favorite fight.
My first one, it's actually an ongoing fight. Began in 2008. It's one of the guys we've talked about on the podcast before. I want to talk about Jay Cutler's, you know, fight against diabetes.
Oh, God.
You know, he's been fighting it since 2008. You know, he's become a pretty relevant athlete, I think, over the years. So just want to, you know, congratulate him a little bit on his, you know, successful fight against diabetes.
Yeah, well, he's losing the fight against his pissy fucking attitude.
That's a battle he'll never win.
Anyway, he's back in Miami next year.
Yes, no.
Fucking
no way.
No.
He's done.
Tannehill will be back.
Yeah, he was
awful.
Browns,
maybe.
The Browns will probably pay him. Yeah.
Bengals?
Jesus.
Let him bring him to the Bengals. Let Baker Mayfield learn under him for a year, and then...
Nice.
Yeah.
That's just who Baker needs.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs an apathetic figure showing him how to be a pro.
Yeah.
Well, my number one sports fight of, I'd say it's probably mostly because of the teams involved. But I watched this video probably a dozen times tonight just getting ready for this, and it got me so pumped for baseball season. It is 2010, the Reds versus the Cardinals brawl.
Yep.
Yes. That was on my list.
Brandon Phillips, who is no longer with the Reds, the night before had called the Cardinals whiny little bitches.
Yep.
Which he wasn't wrong, because, I mean, that was the night before was Chris Carpenter was screaming at one of his infielders because they had to pause the game to get the right glove because it was a position. It was like a double switch, and he had the wrong glove. So they had to call time so they could get the right glove. And so a player was out of position on a ground ball, and and Carpenter was yelling at his guys. I get so mad now. I'm seeing articles about Chris Carpenter's case for the Hall of Fame.
God.
Like, of what? Like,
no.
No, he's not. Like, he He was a decent pitcher. He was a good pitcher there for a while. I'll give him that. But I just, I can't stand the guy. And, I mean, he is a dick. You can tell he's a dick.
Yeah.
But that fight, I mean, Brandon Phillips, before the Reds even got their first at-bat, Brandon Phillips and Yadier Molina went toe-to-toe, and
yeah,
it sparked a brawl. And it, I always liked
just,
Scott
just
Rolen.
Just from trying to tap him on the shin.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah, and I love Scott Rolen, but, and I mean, I liked him when he was with the Blue Jays, and then I was pumped when we got him in that trade. And, like, he went after Chris Carpenter, which
yeah,
was awesome. Because, yep. And you can see, watching the video, I broke it down like the Zapruder film tonight, watching everything happen. I still want to know what Carpenter said to spark that, because everything was dying out.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Chris Carpenter says something, and you see Joey Votto and Scott Rolen both get, like, furious and, like,
yeah,
both charge him.
Yeah.
So he had to, they said something to Dusty, and I don't know what it is because the cameras were pointing from the other direction. But if you know it was enough to get Votto trying to fight somebody, like, Votto yells at him.
Maple syrup.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say Skyline, possibly, because, you know, everyone's in Cincinnati, so he probably bashed that. I think that would fire up any Reds player.
Carpenter down there and whip his ass right now.
Carpenter looked terrified, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
So, I remember distinctly where I was when this happened, because I had, I think, just gotten off work, and I ran to GameStop real quick because I was buying Madden that day. And I think I got a text from Mac that just said, like, holy shit or something, as I was getting into my car. And I turn on the car, and, like, the radio comes on, and I just hear the aftermath, and I'm like, what the fuck did I just miss? So I'm, like, speeding home trying to figure out, like, what just went on. And then I caught all the video and got caught up afterwards, but...
Yeah,
that was a good one. The one thing I don't like about that fight, and I don't know if I'll blame him completely, but Cueto throwing the kicks, like,
yeah,
he ended LaRue's career.
Well, that career ended 5 years before
Yeah, not so much that, but just it just looks like it's a bad look on his part. Like, I don't know, like, yeah, obviously he was backed up against the net, so maybe he felt like that's all he could do, but. Yeah, the kicks were definitely a bad look there.
You don't want to fuck up your pitching hand.
Well, that's true.
All right, Witty. So, good luck following that one up.
Yeah. So my first one, it's... So obviously the one sport that's known for fights is hockey, but when you get a really good fight in another sport, it gets referred to as a hockey fight, where you get guys just squaring up and throwing punches. And so that's kind of what this fight was. It was in football, but it was two guys just absolutely going at each other. And it all started because one guy kind of cheap shotted the other. And so, you know, they squared up, and it was a perfectly, you know, fair one-on-one fight that both guys were equally involved with. And AJ Green just absolutely beat Jalen Ramsey's ass. And that's what Jalen Ramsey gets for trying to fight AJ Green. So I don't even think... Yeah, Jalen Ramsey really got anything in on AJ, so it was a pretty dominating performance on his part. Yep. And I'll say this, just from how bad he beat his ass, AJ Green deserved to be kicked out of that game. And Ramsey got tossed, too. And I liken that kind of almost to the, I don't know if you guys played Blades of Steel on NES, but it's an old NES hockey game where when you fought in that game, the loser got put in the penalty box and the winner didn't. So I figured it was kind of like that, where the refs were like, "You look, you got your ass kicked so bad by a wide receiver, a skinny wide receiver, you're gone." So
just go sit down.
Yeah, yeah. So that completely, you know, both sides equally involved, squared up, fight went to AJ Green, and so that's my number one pick. Yeah.
I had that on my list, but I did not have the brilliant presentation planned for that. So.
I think I misremember that play.
It don't happen so fast. It's hard to tell.
I remember getting whiplash from the camera work on that because it was just a normal running play.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the camera just like flew to the other side of the field. They're like, "What? Oh,
yeah."
Like, here we go. And I was like, "What the hell's going on?" And
football. Yeah. Football fights pissed me off.
And I couldn't tell who it was at first, and I thought it was LaFell because that doesn't seem like an AJ Green type of
thing.
But that was a good one.
I would have never picked AJ Green fighting somebody on the field, and it just football fights always piss me off because there's always that one idiot that starts hitting somebody with a helmet on, and
like AJ Green,
and I just don't get it. Like, why would you not like pull his helmet off? I don't know.
I have back to back picks, and I'm glad that this one hasn't gotten picked yet because it's probably one of the best fights of all time. and that is the Malice at the Palace in 2005. Yep. Yeah. With Ron Artest going into the stands to fight a fan that had thrown some beer on him. And, might I add, he got the wrong guy. He did not get the dude that that threw beer at him. And this ended up being, I mean, this was a black eye on the NBA for a long time. Ron Artest, Jermaine O'Neal, and Steven Jackson all got, like, almost year suspensions for what they did up in Detroit. And it was... I mean, Jermaine O'Neal throwing the biggest haymaker I've ever seen at just a random fan. As he's lucky that he lost his footing, because that guy could have died. Like, if he would have connected with that dude's chin, it could have been over. And then Steven Jackson was kind of trying to hold back Ron Artest at first, and then a different fan grabbed him, and he started swinging on him too. I mean, the entire thing, the entire thing was just insane.
It was crazy.
Yeah, they after that in 2005, they increased security at like all NBA games, and I mean they did a lot to try and make it a safer atmosphere. But yeah, that is one of the craziest fights that I remember in sports history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like a real life version of Slapshot when the Hansen brothers went into the crowd. It literally was the real life version of that, and it was crazy. And I remember we were pretty young when that happened. We were
2004.
Was it really?
I thought we were younger. It was 2005. Because I was early 2005, but I was in the dorms at OU, and I remember pulling it up on. I don't think it was YouTube yet. But I was pulling it up online to watch it, like, holy shit, like, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That was a good one. I think that was probably on most of our lists. I had that.
Yep, I had that.
So the next one that I have is, back in 2001, a baseball player by the name of Izzy Alcantara gets kind of, I don't know if he got thrown at, but he decides that he's going to charge the mound, and the very first thing he does is kick the catcher over.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
He back kicks the catcher and then runs out, throws a huge haymaker at the pitcher, and circles around like looking for anybody else to fight.
He tries to fight the entire infield, basically.
Yes, he does, but he ended up getting tackled from behind, and I think that was the end of it. But just like, you could tell that he had that fight planned out, where he's kicking the catcher over so that he can't tackle him on his way to the mound. Yep. And then, he was looking to get tackled, and he ended up getting tackled, but it was hilarious seeing him try and fight everybody on the team.
It was like a fight scene out of a movie, the way he just was looking for the next oncomer.
Yeah.
Like they were all going to come at him one at a time, like a ninja movie.
Yeah.
So my next one, and I apologize, Mac. I'm assuming this is one that was probably on your list too. But Rick Nash's first game back in Columbus.
God damn it!
He goes for a breakaway, doesn't score. Kind of him and Bobrovsky kind of get tangled up, and Bobrovsky, like, with his stick, lifts Rick Nash's stick back up to hand it to him, and then he swats it away from him. So he tosses Nash's stick away, and so Nash goes at Bobrovsky, and then the kind of whole little mini brawl ensues. And then on the next face-off that they're all out there, Calvert just decides that he's not going to let Rick Nash get away without fighting him. So you could tell Rick Nash really wasn't interested in fighting, but Calvert wasn't taking no for an answer, so they threw down. And I think Nash kind of got the better of Calvert in the fight, but it was just so awesome to see. Like, that instantly made me love Calvert because just the way he stuck. And up until that point, like, I was still, you know, Team Nash. I didn't really blame him for wanting out. The Jackets did a nice tribute to him during the first intermission, and everybody had been booing him as every time he would touch the puck. And I'm like, I don't get why you guys are going at him so hard. And then the second he did that to Bobrovsky, I was like, well, fuck this motherfucker. Let's all boo him. So as soon as Calvert dropped the gloves against him, I was like, I am instantly a huge Matt Calvert fan. Yep. I already liked Calvert,
I was going to say, I already had a soft spot in my heart for Calvert because we were on the glass for his hat trick.
Yeah.
And when you watch, like, when they show, like, hit, like, the highlights of his career. Yeah. Like, you can see me and my wife, like, on the glass when he jumps into the glass after his third goal.
Yeah.
So, like, ever since then, I was always kind of like, all right, that was his rookie year. I'm like, I really like Calvert. He wore 11, which was always my favorite number growing up. And then, like you said, that Nash fight solidified it for me. I was like, I love Calvert. He was that scrappy guy. He still does. He still fits the Blue Jackets persona.
Yep.
But Witty and I were there. I mean, he alluded to it. That was the hottest ticket. That was the hardest ticket to get in Columbus for a long time. And that's saying a lot for, you know, with all the Buckeye stuff and some of the big-time Blue Jackets games they've had. But, I mean, luckily it was part of our season ticket package.
Right.
But, I mean, I was so amped up for that game to begin with just because I knew the atmosphere was going to be crazy. And I was in the same boat as you where I'm like, I don't blame Rick for wanting out. Like, it was a bad situation.
Yep.
We ended up winning that trade, obviously, with the guys we got back in that. But when he, like you said, when he went at Bob, I was like, all right, fuck this guy.
Yep.
Like, he's dead to me.
Yep.
And then watching Calvert just and you can't really see it as well on the replays when you look it up on YouTube. But, like, watching it live, like, Calvert literally was just cross-checking him across the back of the neck. Like, wasn't letting him up. Like,
yeah, he wasn't like, going to take no.
And he was, like, basically, like, you know, and I think he even said in the interview, like, after the game, he's like, you know you have to fight me, right? And Rick finally did.
Yeah.
And Rick's 6'4", and Calvert's, like, 5'10". So, I mean.
And you know it went down with Calvert, like, all right, Mr. Rick, I'm going to have to fight you now because that wasn't okay for you to do.
Do you guys forgive him when he comes back to the Jackets?
I'm over the whole Rick Nash thing. I'm sure I'll be fine with it. I mean, he's already said he wants to. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think I'm fine with it because, I mean, time heals all wounds, and his last couple of times coming back to Columbus, he hasn't been a dickhead. So if he helps him win a cup, I'm good with it.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I definitely had that one on my list, Witty. My next one, I'm going to stay in hockey. This is one that I'll queue up whenever I'm wanting a good hockey brawl. It was the Eastern Conference quarterfinals with the Penguins and the Flyers. And it was former Blue Jacket. Well, he wasn't a former Blue Jacket at the time. So future Blue Jacket, now former Blue Jacket, Scott Hartnell was in the mix with that. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen this fight. It was the Penguins and the Flyers. Like, they already hated each other. So it all started off with a cheap shot on Sean Couture. And at that point, I think he was, like, their big rookie. If he wasn't the rookie, he was still, like, one of the really young guys that were protected. And it just sparked, you know, a line brawl and pretty much everybody pairing up for fights. And then while they were sorting out who was going to the box and who was going to be sent off into the locker room, more fights sparked, and Sidney Crosby pulled the biggest bitch move ever and was trying to rip out Scott Hartnell's hair because he had long hair at the time. And so then Scott Hartnell got jumped by someone else because they thought he was fighting Crosby, and really he was just trying to get his hair out of Crosby's hands. And it was just the most Pittsburgh Penguin thing ever, the way that they were fighting the Flyers in this game. So, I mean, I think the YouTube video is like 13 minutes, and it's a lot of fighting. Like, it's pretty much just line brawl after line brawl because everyone was pairing up and fighting. And you see that a lot between two rivals, but it was a pivotal point in the playoff series. So it was, I mean, you don't see it as bad in the playoffs like that unless the series is out of hand. So it was kind of a rarity there, but it's a good hockey fight if you're looking for some good, I guess the closest thing to old school hockey we've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I have back-to-back picks. My first pick that I'm going to discuss is, it kind of caused a little bit of a rift in the Natty Boys. We all went to OU. Witty is an Ohio State fan. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I wanted to discuss when Rufus attacked Brutus at the Ohio State-Ohio game. It was a premeditated attack. The Brandon Henning, who had tried out for the mascot position, said that he had pre-planned before he tried out that the only reason he was trying out was so that he could go up and attack Brutus. So he thought it was overblown. He just tried to do it to be funny. But it was predetermined that as soon as they were going to run out on the field, he was going to tackle Brutus. And if Brutus didn't fight back, he was going to tackle him when he ran to the end zone. So ended up being one of the funnier fights I've ever seen. I think it was all in good fun, but it got way overblown. It was either you kind of liked it or you hated it kind of thing. So
I always like a good mascot fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got a poster of that in the DC Comics like format type of thing. It's a poster of some artist that does comics did it where, you know, Rufus has Brutus in a headlock.
Nice.
I can see it right now. It's pretty well done. But yeah, that was everybody's profile picture on Facebook and everything for a long time at OU.
Yeah,
so.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely made me laugh. Plus, it always brings up that discussion of, you know, what if the mascots fought, you know, who would win, or if the mascots, you know, battled in real life, who would win. So it was kind of cool in that sense. Plus, it used to be my favorite mode on NCAA when you could play the mascot games. I always thought that was cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
My second pick was another, like, kind of like Malice in the Palace level craziness, no fans involved, but the Florida International University football team versus Miami Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the most insane football brawls ever. I mean, people were kicking, punching, swinging helmets, and it went on for a decent amount of time, too. It was like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of just straight, like, knockdown, like, drag-out fighting. So, and coaches were throwing bodies different directions. It was an insane fight, and I just remember that being all over, you know, YouTube. Everybody was posting it. Like, it was a crazy fight. So that's my third and final pick.
Nice.
For my third and final pick, I have Denzel Washington versus racism on Remember the Titans.
Nice.
I think he ends up winning, despite one of the players getting paralyzed. but it seems like they were all one big happy family at the end, despite everyone's best efforts from the community. So,
yeah,
good on you, Denzel.
So my last one, I guess there were actually 2.5 fights. It's a series of about 2.5 fights, but Patrick Waugh versus Red Wings goalies. He had a couple of really good fights. First one was against Mike Vernon, and I think Mike Vernon kind of got the best of him. My favorite of the three was Waugh versus Chris Osgood. I feel like Osgood and Waugh had a kind of rivalry going there for a while. And both of these kind of were where there was basically an entire line brawl going on, and then the goalies just kind of got mixed up in it. But anytime you see a goalie fight, it's always entertaining. But I feel like Patrick Waugh was really good fighter. And I think he got the best of Osgood. And the last one in the bunch was again another brawl, and it was Dominic Hasek. But they kind of tried to go at it, but the refs wouldn't let him free, so they never really got to have round three of Waugh versus the Red Wings. But those are always entertaining battles to see. So and that was back in the days when the Avalanche and the Red Wings were huge rivals, and they just did not like each other. So they were fighting all the time, and it was always entertaining to watch.
Anytime a goalie is in a fight, it's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think even after his playing careers, Patrick Waugh has had some issues with when he's been a coach. Like, I know the one team that he coached, he was, you know, sending goons out to fight people. And I think he had an issue when he was actually coaching. Well, I think he was coaching the Avalanche a couple years ago, and he had an issue where he, like, tried to fight somebody. I don't remember the specifics, but he's definitely got a fighter's mentality, and he's got a little bit of a temper. So, which is weird to see as a goalie, because a lot of goalies nowadays are like weird,
like
I mean, granted, he's Russian, so like Briz, like any Russian goalie is just a nut job.
Yeah.
They're like that weird relief pitcher that you have on every baseball team.
Yep.
So to end it out here, I am going to pick Larry Johnson for the Knicks versus Alonzo Mourning for the Heat. And it's not because of the actual fight, but it's because of Jeff Van Gundy trying to break up the fight. he ends up somehow going to the ground and just grabbing Alonzo Mourning's leg and like being dragged across the court by Alonzo Mourning because he's trying to break up this fight between, you know, two of the probably what was two of the best players in the NBA at the time. But just seeing like Van Gundy on the ground is absolutely hilarious. Makes me laugh every single time I see it.
Yep.
The best is his comment to it, because they asked him, you know, what were you thinking? He's like, I have no idea. Yeah. Like, he's just like, dude's huge. Like, I don't know what I thought I was going to do.
Yeah, this 5'10" dude trying to break up a fight between 7-footers.
Yeah, that's funny.
I had a couple honorable mentions. Two or three got sniped from me, so that actually shortened my honorable mention list, thankfully. I had one I'm not really a big fan of, but I mean, I'm a fan of Kenny Freeze getting busted wide open, but the Crosstown Shootout Brawl back in 2011.
Yep.
Between the Cincinnati Bearcats and Xavier Musketeers.
Yeah, that was
a black
guy
for. Yeah, it was a black guy for both programs, but seeing, you know, Kenny Freeze get beat up pretty bad was awesome.
Mm-hmm. The Crosstown Showdown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't call it the shootout. You
can't call it the shootout.
Because, you know, guns were involved in the fight, right? So.
And you don't shoot the basketball, you show
it. No.
Yeah.
You show the basketball.
You show it down into the basket.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree with DB, though. That one was a little too real. It got ugly fast.
Yeah. That was true hate.
Yep.
Another one I had was Jason Veritek versus A-Rod.
Yeah.
And the reason I put that on our list is because it was sparked by Bronson Arroyo beaning A-Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah. With cornrows.
Yep. At that point, I don't remember if he had the cornrows or not.
I don't think he had the cornrows
for the fight. I think it was just kind of like a little bit longer hair. No. I think the cornrows were more of a playoff thing for him.
Yeah.
But this was, he hit A-Rod like on the back of the arm and they were jawing. And then next thing you know, Veritek got into it and it turned into an all-out brawl. My other one was, you know, this one, both sides have gotten their blows in. It's been a back-and-forth battle, so it's been an ongoing fight. But Rex Ryan versus obesity.
Yeah.
He keeps going back and forth.
Yeah.
That
lap band didn't stand a chance.
No, not at all. He couldn't keep up with his brother if he had that band on. So. And then my last one, this was the first fight I thought of when I heard the Chris Paul story with the secret tunnel. But current Blue Jackets head coach, former Vancouver Canucks head coach.
Yeah.
Well, he got famous, you know, with Tampa and New York Rangers. He spent a year in Vancouver. But when he was in Vancouver, he tried to fight Calgary's head coach, Bob Hartley.
Yeah.
They were drawing back and forth at each other from the benches, and then during intermission, he went down one of the tunnels, and the way the hockey locker rooms are behind the benches is it's all one long hallway, but usually there's a divider between, like, so you can't really see the other side of the hallway. Well, it didn't matter for him. He went the other way and tried to get into Calgary's locker room to fight the head coach, which we haven't seen that Tortorella in Columbus. I think he's learned that. I mean, he's always been a fiery guy. He still is fiery. But that was one of my favorite moments, and I was always a Tortorella fan before he even became a Blue Jacket head coach. But that was good to see, and the video is good too because it's just like a high view from the hallway, and you just see like a whole clusterfuck of hockey guys in this narrow hallway trying to fight, fight the coach from getting into the locker room, and it's about what you would expect with a lot of guys on skates trying to keep their balance with all their shoulder pads on and stuff, but. That's all I had without, there's another one I had, but I don't want to have to deal with editing it out or pissing off a lot of people. So
the only honorable mention I had was, Nolan Ryan versus Robin Ventura.
That was a good one.
Ventura charges the mound and Ryan just kind of gets him in a headlock and starts punching him on the top of the head.
Yep.
That fight makes me laugh every time.
Yep. So I had a couple honorable mentions. One, it's more generic, but whenever you get drunk fans fighting each other, that's mm-hmm, always interesting. And I don't really like to see them actually like throwing punches and like actually fist fighting. I prefer to the fights where they're both just kind of drunk and they kind of grapple up and nobody does anything, but everyone looks like an idiot. Those are always enjoying to see.
Right. Just kind of like hug up and fall in between the rows of seats.
Exactly. Yeah. But when they actually start to get throw fights, I guess I kind of get lost in watching videos of fan fights sometimes. So maybe I'm a little bit of a hypocrite there, but I think it looks bad when they're actually throwing punches. Cause it's just a game. But people take the shit way too seriously. And then my other honorable
Steelers
mention.
Guy yelling that he was going to kill himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that was
awesome. That was awesome.
Because he didn't want to do the dishes.
I really hope he did.
Don't ask me to do nothing. Dishes, dishes. Nothing. And my last one was Ty Domi versus the Flyers fan.
Yes.
When Ty Domi was in the penalty. Shut up. When Ty Domi was in the penalty box, there was a Phillies or a Flyers fan sitting behind him, jawing at him. So he kind of turns around to his water bottle and squirts the fan with it. And another guy comes out of nowhere and like tries to dive over top of the glass to like swipe at Ty Domi. And then the glass breaks and he falls in there with Ty Domi. And you got to think the second he falls in, he's just thinking like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
like,
my life is over.
Yeah, I'm going to get my ass beat. And luckily the officials jumped in pretty quick. So I don't really think Domi actually did anything to him. But God, that fan had to have been shitting his pants when he fell in
there. Oh, yeah. God. I had two. A lot of my honorable mentions got taken off.
Sure they did.
One of the ones that I had for honorable mention is a guy that even if, you know, him being older now, I still wouldn't want to fight him, and that's Rob Dibble versus Lou Piniella. That was a pretty awesome fight, and the jawing afterwards was just as awesome because they were just screaming at each other. And then the other one I had that I'm surprised wasn't on there was Andre Johnson versus Cortland Finnegan.
Yeah.
Because I fucking hate Cortland Finnegan and so always did. So
that was a good one.
Awesome to watch him just get pummeled.
Yeah. The fluid motion of ripping his helmet off and swinging a punch.
And like, he was dropping bombs on him too. Like,
yeah. That's one of those ones, like I had said before, where they like compare it to a hockey fight because they literally were just trading blows, and it was an entertaining one to see.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite ones from the NFL. Plus, they took their helmets off, which is smart.
Yeah.
We always like to end the show by telling you what we're looking forward to this weekend. And, guys, this weekend I have I guess it's a slight confession because I'm pretty sure I have an addiction to the video game Fortnite.
Definitely.
I know that you guys have all played it a little bit, but I guess for those of you that don't know, the concept of the game is that 100 people get dropped into a map and you got to go find guns and health and stuff. And then it's basically a fight till the end. As Witty would say, it's Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the last person alive wins. And the last three nights I've stayed up way later than my normal bedtime playing it. And I'm having fun. I'm going to play it some more this weekend while football and basketball are on, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I have a Fortnite addiction.
I agree.
And it's an entertaining game. My last night was my first experience playing with you guys, but I enjoyed it. So look for the Natty Boys Fortnite podcast coming soon.
Yeah.
Where Mac just walks around screaming, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. My main function last night was more comic relief than anything else.
Oh, it was cracking me up last night.
You were killing me, though.
Witty, you were cracking me up last night. Don't go to that bush. That's my bush. What are you doing? That's my tree.
Which, by the way, like, this is just a viral video thing that was going on. I saw on Twitter where there was like 4 or 5 college kids just kicking the shit out of a bush.
Yeah.
And it said when the whole squad sees a bush move on Fortnite.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
I thought that was pretty good. But yeah, well, I'll probably play that some tonight maybe, and definitely throughout the weekend, off and on. My weekend, we're doing an escape room. My family and I. And I love these escape rooms. It's probably my fourth one. Fourth one. So I'm 3-1 in escape rooms, and two and two.
That's a Hall of Fame winning percentage.
Yes,
yeah,
so yeah,
2-2. I'm sorry,
500 is pretty good.
Yeah, so I will be doing. I've conquered one in Nashville. I conquered a Cincinnati themed one in Cincinnati. I failed some weird Sherlock Holmes one, and I failed like a prison escape one. But this one we only usually do them with like 3 or 4 people. So you get 8 people usually. Sure. So we're limited resources anyway, but we've still gone 2-2.
Sure.
But this time we're going to have my family. We're doing one. And the one that we did really well on that we beat one time before was It was all Cincinnati themed. And they say you don't need to know a lot of Cincinnati stuff to do it. The clues kind of give themselves, but this is a free plug for Cincinnati escape rooms, I guess. But we were able to get through a lot of it faster because I knew a lot of the history about the Reds, and so I didn't even have to use the like matrix to figure out what clues meant what. Like I just knew the answers for a lot of things.
Nice.
But this other one is that we're doing on Saturday is you get locked in the Carew Tower, I guess gift shop, and you can't find your Reds tickets or something like that, and you have to find the tickets and get out of the tower within an hour or so.
Nice. Is it actually be pretty in the interesting. Tower, or is it like...
It's in Montgomery. So it's right by Montgomery Inn.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like a... It's a, I guess, a recreation of the Carew Tower lobby and everything. Yeah. But so I'm excited for that. I'm doing that with my family, and then...
That's cool. I've never done one of those.
Yeah, neither have I, but it's something I've always been interested in doing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Ooh, I smell some blog content.
That would be a lot of fun, except for they're really weird about cameras and stuff, so we would have to just like recap it after the fact.
Yep. So, what I'm looking forward to is not actually over the weekend. It's on Tuesday, but the Blue Jackets play the Golden Knights on Tuesday, so it'll be their first matchup against Vegas. So I haven't actually seen Vegas play yet. You know, I see clips and highlights and whatnot, but I'm actually excited to kind of see that game and how the Blue Jackets stack up. And I'll be honest, I haven't been following them that closely, but I know starting off the season the Knights were hot, so I don't know if they're still doing well, if they've kind of fallen back down to earth. But it's always interesting when you see an expansion franchise come in and have success right away. So
Is it home or away for the Jackets?
This one's away. They play again at home in March.
Okay. So Torts you gotta is be gonna careful. Smell like hookers and booze.
Yeah. Yep. Hefe, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
I actually have a big weekend.
No one cares.
I don't know if you fine. I don't know if you guys know this, but this isn't our career, so we do have other careers, and it is holiday party season for my company. So
what?
Oh, so after all the holidays have been over for several weeks, that makes sense. So,
oh, MLK.
I mean, you guys are hating, but we're going. You guys are hating, but I'm going to Topgolf. I get an early day on Friday, and I'm going to Topgolf, which is it'll be a first trip for me. So nice. I'm pretty excited.
I hope you're on the fourth floor and fall off.
I know. I've just been told not to fall off. So
yeah.
And then on Saturday, I'm going to Sakura. So nice. Hibachi grills are my favorite restaurants.
Yep.
And Sakura is
hope you fall asleep
amazing.
And get burned.
Hate to be your toilet on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to blow that
it's
thing
gonna
up.
It's going to be just
for sure.
Coated with yum-yum sauce.
Yep. And beer.
Not even his toilet the next morning. It's going to be whatever gas station halfway between there and home is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whatever's available. It could be a bush for all I care.
Hey, you should be like Kim Jong-un. Is it Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il that we got right now?
Un, I think.
Un? Did you see he's got a traveling toilet that follows him everywhere?
Oh,
that's,
God.
That's what I would love that.
Like it.
Yeah, he's my dog. So.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't want to end up on a list, but I kind of like it. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. I get to go to Topgolf for the first time.
Well, Merry Christmas to everybody at your place of employment.
Happy holidays.
All right, well, Hefe's off celebrating Christmas with his work in the middle of January, and we're off doing all of our other fun stuff while DB is killing brain cells on Fortnite, and I guess Witty's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs waiting
for
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Miller and Sports. In the bio for that Twitter handle is a link to our four accounts. I've realized in the last couple of weeks we have nothing about any of the other people, which...
Fuck them.
You know, it won't fit. Fuck we em. Tried.
You only get oh, you characters. Did? You're a better man than I am. I have not even tried, so...
That was a lie.
So, yeah, so we're all there. Check us out, and you can figure out who all everybody else is. We kind of all just talk to each other on Twitter, so...
Yeah.
And be sure... I mean, the website, as always, millironsports.com. Our NFL uniform rankings is still up there, and I know Hibachi put some stuff up there about the Marvin Lewis era continuing, and got some other blogs in store for you. DB's still doing the great things over on Instagram, so check us out on Instagram. It's the same handle as Twitter, at Millern Sports. got to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. It's really important that we get some clicks on that and get some reviews up there with some more 5-star ratings so we can maybe start popping up in some more searches for some people.
Yeah.
So everybody have a great weekend. We'll have some more recap on Witte's primetime Tuesday night game against Jackets versus the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, I'll probably be asleep by the time the game starts, but hey.
Yeah, we might be a man down when Hefe falls through the net at Top Golf and plunges three stories to his death onto AstroTurf. And DB can't do podcasts because he's got carpal tunnel from playing Fortnite all night. So
yeah. It happens.
And I'll just probably fall asleep before we record. So
no show next week.
No show next week.
we're just kidding. There's a show next week. Please listen.
Yeah, we don't want anybody's weeks to be ruined because we didn't put out that show.
Yeah.
All seven people, so. Have a good weekend. See you guys.
See ya.
Happy birthday, Dad.